14. We want to continue tonight, just before we pray, looking at God's word. You know, we've been having a seminar on the name of Jesus, and we've, through the illumination of God's word, we've discovered certain truths that are very vital for our Christian experience, our walk with God, our experience of our inheritance in Him is attached to our understanding the import, the weight of glory that God has stored in the name of Jesus. This is the last week of the series of teachings, and we've already covered some ground. We said certain things, that a name is descriptive of a person's status and position. A name also defines an individual's purpose. So we understand from the Gospels, which are eyewitness accounts of the life, the birth, the life, and the ministry of Jesus, we see through the Gospels who Jesus is, how He lived, how He acted in line with the will of the Father. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 14 tells us that the Word put on flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we saw in John's Gospel the fact that Jesus, when He was alive in the 33.5 years of life and ministry, that He was the only begotten. It means the only one to be given back to by the Father. The Word put on flesh and tabernacled among us. But one of the things we've discovered in this series is the fact that we see Jesus in the four Gospels, and the Jesus that we see in the four Gospels is not the same as Jesus that's unveiled to us in the epistles. In the epistles, which are letters written concerning the new creation, we see Jesus in a new stature, in a new status, in a new authority, in a new position. So as we study the scriptures, we're coming to a supernatural comprehension of what does His name mean. If we don't understand what His name means and what the import is, we'll be flippant with the usage of the name. The name of Jesus to a believer in the New Testament is like you and I being given a blank check, and the Father says, draw anything you want to draw. That account is loaded with everything beyond your mind can imagine. But your drawing on that account is a function of how you regard the name, the light you have concerning the name. So in this series, we've been able to cover the fact that what the name means in the four Gospels is not what it means in the epistles. That the difference between when He walked physically upon the earth in the four Gospels and when He rose, the difference is much. The difference is huge. Let's look at one of the things that Jesus told us in the Gospels. John's Gospel chapter 14 verse 12. See what Jesus said. Very verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I want you to notice when he said that, this is what I want you to understand, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works, because I go unto my Father. Now, in that one single verse of scripture, we saw a lot. One of the things we saw was that, how do you believe on him? It means to receive him as Lord and Savior. It means to receive eternal life. So Jesus was speaking about a futuristic event. It wasn't something that happened when he was physically here. It was something that will happen after he rose from the dead. Notice that, because I go to my Father. Why will you do greater works? I go to my Father. So it's safe to say greater works and going to his Father are connected. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. We saw him heal the sick. We saw him cast out devils. We saw him work miracles. We saw that his name, when he was physically upon the earth, could carry out all that. But then Jesus said something, greater works than this. That one greater means of a higher quality. Something better is in store. What's the difference? Now you can do all this while I'm physically here, but the time is going coming when I will go to my Father. And when I go to my Father, is Jesus' way of telling us about his resurrection. Because we understand from the scriptures that the route through which he took to get to the Father was through the cross. That he was crucified and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And after he rose, he ascended and then he sat down. That's what it meant by saying, I go to my Father. Hallelujah. So it's a greater works than this shall you do because I go to my Father. We also understand from the scriptures, look at John chapter 7. John's Gospel chapter 7. some of these things we need to repeat them, but because through the law of repetition we're able to establish things, our understanding is greatly enriched. Verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39 says, "But this speak he of the Spirit." What is referring to as this? When he said, "He that believeth on me, as scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." What then was he referring to by rivers of living water? What was he referring to as "he that believeth on me"? Those are the two key words, two phrases. The first one, "he that believeth on me." The secondly, "out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39 gives us the answer. "But this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Another word for glorified is, "I go to my Father." So in going to his Father, another phrase for it is that he will be glorified. And when he's glorified, out of his belly will flow one rivers of living water. "He that believeth on me" simply means those who receive that river, or the indwelling of the Spirit, or what we also call the new birth. In other words, the authority, the responsibility, and the status that Jesus has now at the Father's right hand is far greater than what he exercised when he was physically upon the earth in the four Gospels. Very important. So "I go to my Father" is Jesus being seen in a new status, in a new position, and a new standing. Very important. So that we don't make the mistake of seeing him strictly as Jesus in the four Gospels and missing out on who he is in the epistles. In the four Gospels, it was Jesus the anointed, and he went around and sometimes delegated his authority. In the epistles, we see him as Jesus the exalted one. One extra thing was added, and we are exalted with him. Hallelujah. It's very important that we understand that, because this is more than semantics. This is the key to understanding what it means to be a new creation. It's so important. This is the key to understand. If you can understand this difference, you can understand that the import of that name, what it means now, is that that name personally belongs to you. Hebrews chapter 1. We also establish the fact that, how did Jesus get the name? Let's ask another question to answer that question. How do men get names? If a name signifies authority and position and standing and status, men acquire names in three major ways. Number one, by inheritance or by birth. In other words, some people are born into a name. They didn't work for it, they were born into it. By reason of that, therefore, they came into wealth, or they were given a name that has already accomplished much. The Bible tells us that Jesus inherited the name by birth. Secondly, by conquest. By conquest means that by reason of what he accomplished, he obtained a name. To obtain means, in the same way that you'll have a general who will go to war, and because he went to war against a country on behalf of his own country and he succeeded in winning that war, when he comes back from war, accolades are placed upon him by the emperor that he serves. So he's given a title that implies that he successfully won a war. In fact, you don't become a general, well, at least except Nigeria, you don't become a general without never having seen war. A general is somebody who has been to war and has been victorious and came back. A general is not an administrative office. You understand what I mean? So for you to be a general in an army, it means you've seen war, you've conquered, you won victory, and then you are given that rank and that status to signify what you have accomplished. So Jesus was given that name to signify what he accomplished. So we know the name, or what the name means now, must be different from what it meant in the four Gospels, because in the four Gospels he hadn't accomplished anything, yet he had the name of Jesus. Then thirdly, the name was bestowed upon him. In the same way you confer a chieftaincy title, that conferment is a function of the individual who wants to confer it, who has the authority. For instance, the Queen of England sometimes confers certain honors or certain responsible citizens in the nation. So you have the MBE, member of the British Empire, the OBE, and I think in Nigeria we have the GCFR, which is only reserved for the president. Then we have the OON, isn't it? We have the, which other one? Sorry? M-O-N. And what are they doing? They are according a level of honor that only the head of a nation can bestow. But it is bestowed upon them because of the fact that they see them as responsible. So Jesus obtained his name through those three different avenues that men can obtain a great name. Hebrews chapter 1. And let's look at verse 4 and 5. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to follow closely because we're getting to deeper waters now. Verse 4. Be made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels, now again follow the scriptural thought, is about to explain what he just said. Jesus is made so much better. The word "so much better" is not a direct comparison between Jesus and angels. He's actually saying he is of a superior status. He's of a different origin and a superior status. So the word "was better" there simply means that of a different order entirely. So being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance. Now that singular word "by inheritance" implies a birth. Let me say it again. By inheritance automatically implies a birth. A birth implies parentage. Parentage implies children or offspring. Should I say that again? As he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. So he was born into a name. To be born in a name means that somebody gave birth to him. Isn't it? That somebody gave birth to him means he is somebody's offspring. That's what he's about to explain to us. He, Jesus, being made so much better, or occupying a higher status, a different order, and a greater position than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Now, listen carefully again. So when he uses name here, listen carefully, he is not referring to Jesus. Listen carefully. I want you to follow. Don't miss out now. He can't be referring to Jesus. He just said Jesus has obtained a more excellent name than the angels. Notice it doesn't individually identify the angels. He actually mentions angels in plural. So the word angels signifies a category of being, if you understand what I'm saying. The word angels here depicts a particular order of creation. So when it says he has by inheritance obtained a more let me read that verse for him, being made so much better than the angels. This is the word plural. So it's a reference to all angels. It means an order of creation. So he's speaking about Jesus existing as a different order of creation. Let me say it again. Being so much better than you, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hallelujah. So let me put it this way. He's not saying Jesus is a greater name than Gabriel. Actually saying that in the name or the standing or the position, because angels occupy a position or a status, then Jesus, by the reason of his name, which is a reference to his office and status, occupies a different level or rank than the angels. Do you understand so far? Let's go on. For unto which of the angels said he? Who is he here? No, not Jesus. It's God. Unto which of the angels said, go, why is it God? Because verse 1 says, God who has sundry times, in diverse manners, in times past, speak unto the fathers by the prophets. So God is subject matter now. As in this last day spoken unto us by his son. When did he speak to us by his son? He's not just talking about the four gospels. He's talking about the resurrection and what message the resurrection is meant to convey to us. If you understand what the resurrection means to the Father, you will understand what the name of Jesus means. The resurrection is everything. Say everything. It is everything. So, for unto which of the angels said he, at any time. You said, at any time. That's serious. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Did you see that? Now, notice, I want you to scrutinize that statement again. God first said, thou art my son, this day. So there was a specific day that God said to Jesus, this day have I begotten thee. Then there was a prophecy. Now look at the next phrase. Don't miss it. And again, I will be to him a father. He shall be. He shall be means that at the time it was said, it wasn't yet. Hallelujah. I want you to intelligently follow. Are you following? Unto which of the angels said he at any time. The word time there means in any dispensation, whether before the cross or after the cross, that God has never said to any angel, "Thou art my son." And again, also, he had already spoken before it happened that there will be a time God will say to a particular person, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Speaking, prophesying of the future resurrection of Jesus before it ever happened. Look at the next verse now. And again, so this is the third witness now. Can you see that now? He's showing you why Jesus made so much better. Third witness. And again, when he bring in the first begotten, now we know what he's talking about. When he bring in the first begotten into the world, let me ask you a question. Where was he before he was brought into the world? I want to see if you're following. Well, this is Bible study, seminar. When he bring it in, look again, when he bring it in, the first begotten into the world. See what it says about him. And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who make it his angel spirits and his ministers the flower. Let me give you a clue. Was this before the cross or after the cross? Before or after? 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 The clue or the answer is in that phrase. And again, he said to the first begotten. When was Jesus called first begotten? After. If he said to the only begotten, you know there's a gene. So the only time he was called first begotten was resurrection from the dead. In other words, Jesus was born out of the womb of death. And the only person that could give back to him was God the Father. So when he was born, God said, "Thou art my son." Glory to God. This day, hallelujah. What is this day? The day of resurrection. This day have I begotten thee. Now, here's what you now need to understand. The Bible calls Jesus from that time the firstborn among many brethren. Listen carefully. Firstborn among many brethren is not older brother. Started now. Told you were going to deeper waters. Firstborn among many brethren is not your firstborn of, you know, I'm first, it's first, I'm second, I'm third. That's not the language. It's prototype. The first to be experimentally, that will experimentally go to that process successfully. And will serve us. Let me explain. If you go into, have you heard the word first fruit? Okay. When you plant a field, if the quality of seed that was used to plant that seed, that field is the same. What a farmer does, what you call first fruit is this. A farmer goes into the field, he goes to any corner of the field, harvests a portion, and takes it to the market and says, "This is the quality of the harvest I'm about to bring." Do you understand that? So it goes to any corner. Why will it go to any corner? Because the seed is the same. So the quality of apple will be what? The same. So it goes to any corner of the field and cuts a few and takes it to the buyers and says that you wanted to see a sample. Here's a sample. So firstborn is sample. That means as he is. Romans 8:39. Romans 8:29. Now, again, I need you to see. In fact, let me say this. We are praying in tongues tonight. One of the things we are praying out is that you must be established in this thing. Because it will change the order of the supernatural at work in your life. It will change if you can get it. Romans 8:29. See what it says. Romans 8:29. We come back to that Hebrews shortly. See what it says in Romans 8:29. Are you there? From whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now listen, when you see it in King James, it is capital S, isn't it? Who is the son there? Jesus. But he's not, listen carefully, he's not just talking about Jesus. You see what he's saying? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren, which is prototype, model son. Modem son means everyone who comes out will be like him. He's not saying older brother. Prototype means everyone that comes out will have to be after this order. That's what it means. That might be the firstborn among many brethren, or the choice son among many. So among many simply means all the brethren take their lineage, take their genotype, take their DNA from him. So if you sample any part of the church, exactly what you find in Jesus is what you will find in us. If you take us through a spiritual microscope, what you find is what you find in Jesus. Wall for wall, the same DNA. Every square inch of his fullness have we received. Grace for grace. So that the Bible can now say, and you are complete in him who is the head. Your completeness is in him who is the head. Now, the Bible speaks in exact terms. If he destined us to be conformed to the firstborn, who is the firstborn among many brethren? Among how many? Many brethren. Very important. So go back to that Hebrews chapter 1. I need you to pay attention and be very attentive now, because this, you are going to get it. Not that if you get it, you are going to get it. You are getting it already. The eyes of understanding have been enlightened. And you know, hallelujah. So, verse 6 again. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. Something had happened. The word worship means to serve. Let means allow. That means that when the first begotten was brought, so he bringeth again the first begotten into the world, is a reference to his resurrection. Where was he before? He wasn't in the world. Where was he? He was in hell. What was he doing in hell? He paid for our sins. When he arose without sin, no blemish, no stain, no spot. He arose as the Lord Most High. Hallelujah. So when they bring him again into the world, and let all the angels, the phrase let all the angels is a pointer to his new status. Now listen carefully, they are not asking all the angels to worship him because he is God, but because he's the first man to come out of spiritual death. Let me back. Why don't we worship angels? Because they're meant to worship us. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all. That word he said means he gave an order, or let me put it another way. The order and the status of his resurrection so placed him above angelic order that the angels have to serve. But here's the issue. When he rose, he didn't rise alone. Are you with me tonight? He did not rise alone. Do you know that? Here is the challenge that we have. Jesus said something. He said, in my Father's house, there are one? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Then he said something interesting, that where I am, you may be there also. Now look at the phrase, I go to prepare a place. So it was physically with them. This is John chapter 14. It was physically with them. I go to prepare a place. Then he was now saying that where I am when I go to prepare a place, where I will be then will be higher and greater than where I am now. So where he was talking about wasn't the geographical location, it was a spiritual status. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. The key to releasing those dwelling places or allowing men to enter into that position, that relationship, is I must go to the Father. But going to Father is not a shortcut, it's a very long cut. Because it's through the death, his burial, and his resurrection. So I go to prepare a place. Then he says something strange. That where I am, you may be there also. And I was talking about the new creation. Where he is where you are. When the Bible says, he is far above all principality and power, he's saying you are far above all principality and power. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says, same thing. Why? He is the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren rose with him. Many brethren rose with him. So when he heard that those words, I said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten. You heard that voice also. You hear what I said? You heard that voice also. God also said to you, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. That's why he is not made of a higher material, final material. We are made of the same material. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. We're painstakingly going through the scriptures because I need us to capture this tonight. Ephesians 2. See what the Bible says in Ephesians 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love, wherewith he won, loved us. Did you see that the word loved is in past tense? Isn't that true? It's greater wherewith he loved us. Now, so he is about to address believers. When the scriptures, the epistles addresses believers, he speaks about God's love for a believer in the past tense. Let me explain what that means. That means, therefore, that it was that great love that made you a believer in the first place. The demonstration of that love, the outcome of it was that you became a saint or a new creation. So he says, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. This is what Jesus was trying to teach them in John chapter 17. What was he trying to communicate? The new creation. He was trying to communicate the fact that you and I, through his death, burial, and resurrection, will become born again or will become new creation, or we will have occupy mansions in the Father's house. Hallelujah. So your mansion is not a physical one. It's a spiritual estate. You and he are one together. Hallelujah. You ever heard that song before? It's not a physical house. If you don't understand, you must forgive me. A song that says, I don't know if there are English versions of that kind of song. I said, I know. My house is in heaven. My house that is in heaven. We know your house is in heaven, but you're occupying it now. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual house. We're built up a spiritual house. Hallelujah. We're indwelled by God's Spirit. So that whether we live or we die, we glorify Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's so important for us to understand. So you are not looking forward to, you are there already. That's your postcode, your address in the spirit. You are a new creation. You heard that voice that said, this day have I begotten you. Hallelujah. That's what it means. See what it says. But God which rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. What love is talking about? Look at John chapter 17 quickly. John chapter 17. The first time I read this scripture, my mind almost went. It was so much against religious thinking that I was thinking, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. You know, there's a shouting ground. In fact, you shout yourself to believing. You know what I mean by that? You shout to drive out every doubt that, no, this, you place yourself there. You read it again. You don't read it once and go away. Your eyes should be glued. So when you are praying, it influences your prayer. It influences the way you come in prayer. It even influences the words you speak in prayer. Oh, if we will know what it means to be a new creation, what it means to be a bearer of the name of Jesus, our prayers will not be beggarly. Our prayers will not be full of doubt. Our prayers will be so bold because the love that the Father has for us is outrageous. The grace that we live in is scandalous. If you want to hear it, it is scandalous. Okay. Are you there? Look at verse 22. This is Jesus speaking about his resurrection. What will happen after he rises and you become a new creation? See what Jesus says. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have what? Given them. That they may be one, even as we are. That's the new creation. Only the new creation can be one with the Father as Jesus is. Do you understand that now? Look at next one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Ha! God the Father loves you as he loves Jesus. He doesn't love Jesus more than he loves you. He loves Jesus exactly the way he loves Jesus. It means his love for you is not less than his love for Jesus. Why? You and Jesus are made of the same material. Hallelujah. Go back to that Ephesians 2. After the matter of two or three witnesses. Ephesians 2. But God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together, where? In the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we were quickened together, we were raised together, we were made to sit together. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Because when we are saying the name, you are not borrowing the name. You are not using it by proxy. It is not delegated authority. It is inheritance that's answering. And you can get it. It is not a delegated authority. That's what they had in the Gospels. When you use the name now, it's your personal present tense possession. It's our family name. That's the name that we bear. You know, there are people who bear certain names that when they walk into a bank, the name is collateral. Once they can determine that you are originally Gates, your name is collateral. They don't ask you, go and bring property. No, your birth certificate, your father's signature is on your documents, and it has been authenticated. That is collateral. I hope you know there are people that transact business in Nigeria, they don't use collateral, fiscal one. They don't ask for land and property. Their name is collateral. I hope you know that. There's business at a different level, though. They don't ask for collateral. They are collateral. They are walking into your bank to borrow money. They are doing you a favor. They're not coming to ask for favor. They are the ones doing you a favor by having business. The time should come. The favor of God should be so glaringly obvious that when people associate with you, you are doing them a favor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And those days are coming. We will walk in the fullness of all that is ours. It is ours now. Hallelujah. By people associating with you, cancer should die. Do you understand? HIV should shrivel up. You are operating by the power of an endless life. You know what I mean, sir? That is what drives you now. That when you sneeze, demons tremble. That's what it means. That you are not saying anything, you are just observing them, and the demons are cast out. They are cast out. It's a consciousness. The Father said concerning you, by inheritance you have obtained a more excellent name. Glory to God. It is you. You were raised together, quickened together, made to sit together. Hallelujah. And you are the Father's right hand now. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 9. Or verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. In other words, God who taught our salvation enabled the pioneer of that salvation to secure that salvation through the experiences he had. That's what the Bible calls suffering. He's talking about the cross that Jesus had to go through. The Bible says, it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons. That is the outcome of the cross. That's the purpose of resurrection. In bringing many, say many, many sons into glory. Remember what Jesus said in that John chapter 17, the glory that you gave me, I have given them. How did he do that? Through the cross. That when he rose and he ascended and he sat, when he sat, we sat with him. What does that mean? He brought us into the glory. Hallelujah. But look at what it says next. It says, for both he, hallelujah, that sanctifies, and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You see that? He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Other to is that the one who does the sanctification and those he sanctifies all have one father. Wherefore, it means the same material, the same status, the same standing. So he is not ashamed to call us brethren. The word brethren is adelphos. It means those who come from the same womb. So we share the same womb. We come from the same womb. We're joint heirs with him. Hallelujah. So the name belongs to us. It's our present tense possession. That's what it means. No wonder that when he rose, before he went to the cross, he called disciples and gave them authority over evil spirits. That was delegated authority. The place I can't get to, you go and use my name. He borrowed them. But when he rose, something strange happened. He told them, all power, all power, all power, all power, all power. It means something changed when he rose. Because he never said all power before he rose. He did the miracles in Galilee and surrounding cities at Jerusalem. But here now, he was not talking about the nation of Israel. He said, go into all the world. Why? All power in heaven and in hand. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I shared with us that baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost is not in the original text. It was added. Okay? Because he had already, listen carefully so that you understand what I'm saying. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power is given to who? He's given to who? Did he say all power is given to us? No. All power is given to who? To me. So when it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, the next thing should be verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. So that part that was added wasn't in the original text. If you check the Greek, it wasn't there. Baptizing them is not there because the disciples were, or the apostles were never sent to baptize anyone. Hallelujah. You understand? So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto one, the end of the world. So the Bible says, he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one, or they all have the same Father. Wherefore, he is not ashamed to call them one. Brethren, look at Acts chapter 9. Run quickly to Acts chapter 9. Let's begin to see, what does that mean? What's the implication of that? Acts chapter 9. From verse 1, quickly let's read. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went up unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. This way is a phrase that was used to address Christians before he started calling them Christians. Anybody was a believer, they would say, he is in this way. Or those that are of that way. That's what they call it, the way. No, when I just said, I'm the way, the truth, and the what? So even if they call, either they call it the way or the truth. Or the life. Are you of the truth? Are you of the life? Or are you of the way? All three are the same. Hallelujah. So he was meant to write those that are of that way. So, if you found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them back unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined one about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and had a verse unto me, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against me. Jesus is identifying with the church. He had never met Jesus, but he said, no, you have met me several times. Every saint you meet, you have met me. Did you hear what I said? Every saint you locked up, you were locking me up. This is Jesus fulfilling the scripture. I and the children that the Father has given me, they are for signs and for wonders. He that sanctified and they who are sanctified, they are all one. One means that the oneness is stronger than you think. So for every sin that feels pain, Jesus is feeling the pain. For we are truly one. It's not figurative, it is true. It's a fact of the Spirit. Jesus said, why are you persecuting? He said, Lord, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But who was Paul really persecuting? The church. He was going against the church. Now the Bible calls the church the fullness of him that fills all in all. It means since Jesus is the head, every single head, now let me use a natural term, your physical head gets every activity done through your body. So when you want to drink water, your head knows you need to drink water, for there's a signal in the body that makes the head know. Then the head makes the decision, and then based on instruction from the head, the hand or the leg walks to the kitchen. If that's where you keep your water, but it's at the fridge, and then your hand grabs a cup and then a bottle, pours water, and you drink it. Now, the head is the one who gives the instruction. Who carries that instruction? The body. So, when Saul was accosted by Jesus, do you notice that after Jesus spoke to him, Jesus ministered to him through a member of the body? He sent a man called Ananias. Who was ministering to Paul? Jesus. How was he ministering to Ananias? What were they doing? In my name. You need to get this. In my name. So in my name, listen carefully again, it's not J-E-S. That's why you are using, people are using cupcake. Because you think it's J-E-S-U-S. In my name is the relationship that the new creation has with the Father. In fact, to be a new creation means that you have a relationship with the Father the same as Jesus has. That's what it means. Hallelujah. The same as Jesus asked. So Jesus, the head, spoke in the vision. But Jesus didn't go to physically lay hands on Saul. He did the laying of hands through a member of his body, or he allowed his hands to lay hands, which is Ananias. Hallelujah. What was he doing? In my name. Hallelujah. In my name. Very important. Let me show you something else before we go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What it means to pray in that name. Verse 45. See what it says? And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made what? A living soul. The last Adam was made what? A quickening. That's King James. If we don't understand, he says the last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. Now listen carefully. If it is true that as he is, so are we. We also are life-giving spirits. Hallelujah. We give life. We minister life everywhere we are. Hallelujah. It's so important to understand. That's why Jesus could say, all power in heaven has been given unto me. Listen carefully. Has been given unto who? Me. Unto who? Me. But go ye therefore. Which means that the power given to me is the power given to you. Since we are one, I will ascend and sit as you. Sit there together. You will carry out the assignment. But we are one together. Hallelujah. All power in heaven. It's very interesting to see that the way the Father worked it as such that he could ascend, having no doubt that the work will be done. Because as he is, so are we. That's what the name means. The name means union. The name means oneness with the Father. The name means new creation. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Look at the next verse. See, you understand what this means? Look at the next verse. Verse 47. Verse 48. Look at verse 48. Or 49. 49. As we're born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the one heavenly. Do you see that? The word bear the image of the heavenly. That we shall also. That word we are also saying that in full form, we'll identify with him fully. The last part of identification is just one part, the same body. That's all. It's talking about what? The resurrection. The same body. Do we bear the image now? Yes. Do we have the same status now? Yes. Do we have the same standing before the Father now? Yes. Say we're quickened together. We are raised together. We are made to sit together. He is my wisdom. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. As he is, so am I. He is a life giver. I also am a life giver. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. And as we go now, I'll show you, the Bible doesn't teach that at the mention of the name. No, that's what the Bible teaches. It said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It is a mention. We had that part. See, he didn't say mention. He said, at the name. At the name surpasses mere mention. If you were just, you know, there's some wonderful ideas that we have. Particularly when Christians are trying to act out how Satan's kingdom is. Have you watched those kind of things before? If you have knowledge of scriptures, you will laugh. They always show Satan sitting on the throne. And then some of his demons or people that are serving, they are reporting to him. In the first place, he doesn't have a throne. Is a roving spirit. They go about. Can you see that something is very wrong? And these are Christians depicting it. Can you see that they said they don't know? Then they are reporting to him. They don't report to him. He doesn't have any throne. Think about it. He doesn't have any throne. Then when a person reporting to him now says that I was going along the way and I met that person, or that person mentioned the name of Jesus, he now shows Satan fall from the throne. Don't mention that name. Mm-mm. It's not the mention. It's not the mention. Imagine the name walking on the lips of a demon. It's not possible now. That is, the demon mentioned it. He didn't fall, but his master fell. Does that make it? He's just thinking of thoughts of men. You're laughing and you understand that. I mean, the servants also skip back. Use the name. He didn't walk. The demon passed. In fact, the demon said that. I know Jesus. I know Paul. Who are you? And he beat them. They left that place suitless and shirtless. He beat them. Why? It's not the mention. It's not mentioned. It's at the name. It's the weight of the name. You bear that name. You have that status. They didn't have, you have it. You became a new creation in that name. So you have that status now. Hallelujah. When you use the name, your very presence should scare demons. When you are conscious. Hallelujah. You know, some people identified so much with this light. I think it was this man, what's his name again now? This minister in the 60s in the revival. I'm trying to remember his name now. He said that people used to cast out demons using his name. Are you seeing that kind of people? ALN, he said, in name of ALN, go out, come out, and the million you leave. So this is why his name and name of Jesus were the same. Identification. It was that conscious that demons can't stand where I stand. They can't sleep where I sleep. They can't tarry where I tarry. Somebody says, why? I'm seated far above all principalities and power. I'm completely moving his head over. You know, we are so conscious that if Jesus appears, no demon can stay, but his appearing is your appearing. That's why we're not trying to make heaven. The Bible says, when Jesus, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. He doesn't appear separately from us. His appearance is our appearance. So when we appear, Jesus has come. That's what it means. That's why we bear the same name. So it doesn't, it's not that he bears the name, then we now borrow. No, we are one together with him. Hallelujah. We are seated together with him. So when we are using the name, at the name means simply that the influence and the authority of that name is something you exercise consciously. That's why you exercise that influence without even mentioning the name. You can. I lay hands on the sick many times in that name, and I don't say the name. I just touch and I keep quiet, and I'm a life-giving spirit, and I'm transmitting life. I'm bearing the image of the life-giving one. The Bible says, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph and makes manifest the savour, the fragrance. We carry the incense of life within us, and we transmit that incense to people, and we give life to them. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus go them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In John chapter 20, he told them, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. What was he talking about? The gospel that you preach to them, that they believe. What's the belief they receive? Forgiveness will say, you have just remitted their sins. That's what it means. You have just remitted their sins. That's what it means. Hallelujah. It just means that's what it means to be walking in the name, in the authority of the name. We saw when the apostles were walking in the name, they didn't pray. Peter got to the beautiful gate and saw the man and said that, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. You don't, if you have something, see, you don't tell a cab driver, let me go inside and come out, if the money is in your pocket. They were going to the temple to pray. They were yet to pray. Peter looked at the man. Such as I have it. It is mine. It's not, we will pray the Father, let's hope he answers. No. Such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand upright to your feet and walk. And he pulled up the man. And Moses, his ankle bones received strength. It's St. Peter in Acts chapter 9. Spoke to a man that was bedridden. Said, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you old. Arise, make your bed now. It was a command, it was authority. It was saying the same authority that rose him out of the grave is at work in your body now. Arise and make your bed. And Peter was responsible for transmitting that life to that person. As you are responsible for transmitting that life. You don't need faith. Tell your neighbor, I don't need faith to use what belongs to me. The key of my car, you better claim the car now. The key of my car works without struggle because it's the key of my car. I don't try to make it work. The key simply works. The name belongs to me. I don't need faith for it to work. It's my personal tense possession. Hallelujah. It's my present tense possession. The name is mine. So that's what when I say in the name of Jesus, don't think of J-E-S-U-E-S. Think of the first begotten. Think of the fact that he has defeated hell, death, and the grave. Think of the fact that he is far above all principalities and power. That God has highly exalted him and given a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, he didn't say mention, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess of beings in heaven and of beings on earth and of beings under the earth to the glory of God. Philippians 2 quickly. Let's run there. Philippians 2 quickly. Glory to God. Say, the name belongs to me. I'm in that name. And that name is at work in me. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 9. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted. If the Bible says God has exalted him, it would have been sufficient. But he said highly. He qualifies it. That's what I get here. He has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every. The word every name means there is no creation in existence that has a higher rank. or status. Now, here's the issue. When you are reading that, you are reading that with the revelation of other scriptures in the epistles. When he has given a name above every other name, look at what it says again, that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, not at the mention, at the name of Jesus, which is the name of the Son. The name of Jesus is name of sonship. And because you are a son, it's also your name. That means at the name that you bear as your status and your standing, every knee must bow, every tongue confess that you, through Jesus Christ, you are Lord also. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him, who is the head of which you share headship with. Ah, glory to God. You are complete in him, who is the head of all society and power. Have you ever stood before demons before? And you were conscious of their fear. You knew that his knees are weak, that he's trembling. Somebody says, why? You are far above. You are far above. Hallelujah. You know what it means for you to be in him? It means that in death, they threw their very best at Jesus. And because you were in him, they threw their very best at you. But you came out. And when you came out as their Lord and their master, never to be subject to them again. Hallelujah. That's what it means to use that name. So the Bible says, he has given me the name. Don't stand aloof. Stand inside that statement. He has given us a name that's above every name. That the mention of the name of Jesus, and that's the name of Son. Are you a son? Are you a son? Are you a son? Glory to God. That name belongs to you. It's your present tense possession. When you pray with authority. When you use them, you use it with supernatural boldness. You understand nothing can be denied in that name. Hallelujah. Nothing can be denied you in that name. Glory to God. He has given the name above every other name. And at the mention of the name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of beings in heaven, of beings on earth, and of beings under the heart. Hallelujah. That's who we are now. That's the authority that has been given to us now. That's the standing we have. No wonder Jesus said, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And it is impossible to speak with new tongues without being a new creation. So he was speaking of something far deeper. We'll look into that as we go on. Because when you use the name now with the consciousness, it is the understanding of the authority that produces supernatural results. The name is key. The name is the answer. The name is all the authority and all the power you'll ever need. Let me round up Ephesians 1 verse 20. Ephesians 1:20. Look at what the Bible says concerning that name. Ephesians 1 and verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. Or let me read from verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Of his power. So, reverse that word. What we use, that's Old King James. Towards us. Who have you believed? What's another name for a believer? Just take a wild guess. What's the name for a believer? Son. You are a son. You are a son. Is that the issue? When you read it in a... Towards us who believe. To believe means you are a new creation. So he's speaking about a new creation. He said the exceeding greatness of his power towards the new creation. Because the one who believes is a new creation. Your believing made you a new creation. That's what it means. So towards the new creation, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. In Christ means in you. When he raised him and you from the dead, and set him and set you at his own right hand. But when he set him, he was setting you at his right hand. Hallelujah. In every places, look at the next verse. Next verse, verse 21. Far above. Hallelujah. Not just above, far. If you can measure distance spiritually, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Hallelujah. That's why you are dealing with a situation like maybe, again, like I said, I don't know why I'm using the illustration of demons tonight, but you know, if you've been saved for any length of time and you never encountered a demon, we need to throw you out. We need to take you to where they are because you need to exercise your authority. Yeah. You need to stop. If you are afraid, you have been watching too much Nollywood. You know, Nollywood has, they lie a lot. They like you to ignore because they don't know any better. African mindset, they've turned everything to formula. Say Jesus 7 times. You don't need 7 times. Your 7 times is unbelief. After I say Jesus 7 times, I add blood, blood. Then when you finish, I say Holy Ghost. Now, all you needed to do, everything you have just done, somebody else will just stand and look, and demons will flee. That's the name at work. He didn't say mention, he said at the name. This name standing here. This is the name constituted in the human being standing here. This is Christ. It is God that's at work in you, both to will and to do of his. That's the name. Man, God in union with man. Man in union with God. That's the name. And he's looking at like, ah, no, no, no. That man has anointing. Ah, he has serious anointing. Who do you think you are? Far above. Complete in him. You are the fullness of him that fills all in all. It means outside of you, there's no fullness. But you are his fullness. Hallelujah. It means he expresses himself in and through you. That's what it means. What do you do? You go out boldly. That's why you are a life-giving spirit. You preach the gospel, men get saved. There's a driving force behind you. You have the answer that they need. You don't preach the gospel in the coward. You preach it with aggression. That you're on your way to hell and we're going to get you saved. You won't go this way. Somebody died for you and he lives in me right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, you break the hold of the demons over their soul, over their will, over their intellect. You usher them into the kingdom. Because only sons can make other sons. Hallelujah. That's what the name stands for. Hallelujah. I've done all the going to hell I will ever go. I went there in him once. I will never need to go again. Hallelujah. Don't listen to people that tell you that you are living. The way you are living, you will make heaven. Make heaven. Make heaven. Make heaven. When I'm his workmanship. When I carry the savour of his presence everywhere I go, make heaven. I am the heaven the world knows and needs right now. Hallelujah. In that name. I'm not trying to make heaven. If I go to hell, hell will change location. I carry life. I carry grace. I carry light. Hallelujah. There can be no mistake in the record. He that has the Son has this life. And I have this life. That's what the name means. Hallelujah. I have the life. Stand to your feet tonight. And let's pray in the spirit of that consciousness. Say, I have the life of God in me. I am the Son of God. As he is, so am I. I am complete in him. Who is the head of all principality? I am his fullness. The fullness of him that fills all in all. I give expression to the Father's glory and to his mastery upon the earth. The name and the authority is mine to use today. I bear that name. That inheritance is mine. I have a joint here with Christ Jesus. I have authority over all principality and all power. I'm complete in him. Who is the head? Pray in the spiritual life. Efrata, Lebrango Shubrakati de Giste, and Eprika Stake Sibrokuda. Anekele, ele brok la sigenish de castor, mosavra kati belie, ade kogro bakati le grish de keso, abronga brakati ge, ele brosta vrakatoline ishte, ena gokung, gadla kate anishte, eshe brasta mongra kata, enembo pagante le grite kestike se brokota ganie, ene nekele brakosta kasi prokosta kalabadito, ye priesh de brosta vrakata kiesta, akakalanan kiestashte, ye Bako, Brate, Lepre, get to go la bakatia, ne kata la gite shedo, la broste kevreti la gastike rita shia, esta gasobrokosta brakatia na anka katia, e kakala mangro castobrogotani, este zebreste brakotami, e brasta cabracatolo bakatia la tishte nesto brokotanke, ege kebrokotaka sitea, este sobrosto brokoste vredia na kasto, ombrokatambe, evre. Kala nombro costalite kike shebre kestoko bragatoke eke keke kele grakata ele nemon gratongos. Oh glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when we lemoka asabrogotia lishta kasotia, a subakite le katobi elestungotia asato, omaki vropati eliaturu shekia esuku elikatasia. To pray in the spirit, to pray by the spirit, is to take your place, to stand in your position, to dispatch angels, to sort things out, to allow the wisdom of the Most High, resident within the new creation, to go abroad, to go far, to order your steps to bring about progress, to usher you into the new things that the Father has prepared. And every opposition is uprooted, and every limitation is removed. For the lamo pediatokish de geliataka asuku ilikatia, for favor shall announce you into every place. Favor shall go before you even in this hour, and the grace of the Lord Jesus will make room for you. Eliatuga at yasupakatia nc esupukutali atike dishtekia. The terrain will change, a more difficult terrain, but there will be a greater ease in that same terrain. For as you were sluggish before when you walked upon a smooth place, now you will climb up a hill, but you will run up the hill. For the progress will be tremendous, and the ease with which your job will be done will be astonishing. It will be astounding. For the hand of God will propel you, and his grace will move you forward. And you polycretia shato amagansi eliakopukita. Either though it was meant to take four steps to arrive, but you take just one step.
Amen.
Just one step. You will find yourself in the place you were meant to be even from the beginning of the year. You will find yourself there even now. You will find yourself there even now. Go with it. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Then Lacus. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Eleboke seta, Sheburi, Kelida, Asubukila Castia. We give you praise. 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 We exalt you. 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 It is well. It is well. It is well. It is tremendously well. It is tremendously well. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands and thank him. We are grateful and we are thankful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Thank you. We run through troops. We leap over every wall. And we give praise to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your wisdom and your grace and your ability. Mightily at work in and through us. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah.